Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Today we turn our attention to the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches they will dwell. So far the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, of whom the prophet Isaiah said, He grew up as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, dear fellow redeemed. I wonder if you noticed the Pacific Northwest connection in the text that I read to you just now. I'll give you a hint. It will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Cedar trees. The western red cedar is one of the most famous trees in the Pacific Northwest. It's among the most highly valued woods in the world for the qualities it possesses that makes it an ideal material for manufacture and for building. And it only grows in one area, Western Washington and British Columbia. It's one of the natural resources that gave the Pacific Northwest its start, and for good reason. Cedarwood contains a unique oil that makes it resistant to insects, fungus, and dry rot, all of which we have in abundance, of course, here in our damp climate. We have several big red cedars in the back of the church property over to the east of the parsonage. Not as big, though, as the biggest red cedar in the world, which is located over on the Olympic Peninsula, about 20 miles south of Forks. That tree is over 1,000 years old and 60 feet in circumference. But what really impresses is the height. It's almost 200 feet tall. That is some tall timber. Closely related to the red cedar, interestingly enough, is the tree mentioned in our text for today. It is Cedrus libani, or the Lebanon cedar. It was common in the eastern Mediterranean at the time of Ezekiel. And through Ezekiel, God used the cedar tree to picture for people how his kingdom of grace would be established and how it would grow and branch out. Maybe at one time or another you've had the opportunity to witness a bird building its nest in the secure upper branches of a lofty tree. And perhaps you've thought to yourself in this uncertain world that it would be wonderful if you could find a place, a dwelling place as safe and lofty as that for yourself. Well, look no farther, because this morning God is offering you a place in his kingdom, and no place could be safer than that. Because in the words of our theme, God's kingdom is tall timber. Though it started with a tender twig, it grew to a majestic tree, and it provides safe dwelling for all. Ezekiel was a prophet to the rebellious people of the southern tribe of Judah at a time when disaster had already befallen that nation, and a much worse disaster was about to befall them. Some years earlier, the Babylonians had overrun the nation of Judah, defeated its king, and carried away into captivity all the prominent citizens in the country, including King Jehoiakim and including the prophet Ezekiel. The new ruler of Judah at that time was Zedekiah. He was a puppet king placed in power by the Babylonians, and he was allowed to continue to rule in Jerusalem just as long as he took orders from the Babylonians and sent them annual tribute money. Well, from his exile far to the north, the prophet Ezekiel warned King Zedekiah not to rebel against this judgment, that he should humble himself under the hand of God. But Zedekiah had other ideas. Instead of trusting in the Lord to deliver him, he made a secret plot with that other enemy of Israel to the south, the Egyptians, to come and help him fight against the Babylonians. So he rebelled. The Egyptian army showed up, and was quickly defeated. And then Nebuchadnezzar turned his fury upon Jerusalem. He laid siege to the city, conquered it, and destroyed it. And the remainder of the people of Jerusalem and Judah were carried away into captivity. And that's where the story might have ended, sad and hopeless. And that's where our story might have ended as well, for we too have often been rebellious and unfaithful to our gracious God. How often haven't you and I, like Zedekiah, refused to humble ourselves under the judgment of God, under his chastening hand, when he sends trouble into our lives to discipline and correct us? How quick we are to complain, how swift to criticize God's will for our lives and the way he orders our existence and the things that happen to us. How soon we, like Zedekiah, turn to other sources for help, to doctors and lawyers and financial planners, to insurance policies and bank accounts, and how slow we are to come to the Lord our God for needed help in time of trouble. You think you're an exception? Do you think you are able to stand on your past record in the presence of the holy God, the God in whose presence no sin can stand, and even the slightest, smallest sin, even one transgression, is enough to merit an eternal death sentence? Don't try it. The psalmist says, God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. But when everything seems lost, and it seems, when God's law is ringing in our ears, that we must spend eternity as exiles from the presence of God with no hope of salvation, there comes a ray of hope. Through Ezekiel, God not only predicted the doom of the sinful and rebellious people of Judah, he also predicted deliverance and redemption and restoration for that faithful remnant who would repent of their sins in their exile far to the north, and who would return to the Lord and call upon his name. In the near term, this prophecy would be fulfilled when the exiles in Babylon would return to Israel 70 years later and rebuild Jerusalem. But for you and me, it's the longer term fulfillment of this prophecy that is really important, because it predicts the establishment of another kingdom. An everlasting kingdom, great and majestic like a towering cedar tree. That's the kingdom you and I belong to, the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is indeed tall timber, but it had humble beginnings. It started, in fact, with a tender twig. Thus says the Lord God, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. That last verb there, by the way, means transplant rather than plant. Zedekiah, you see, was the last king of Judah. There would never be another descendant of David who would sit upon that physical throne as king in Jerusalem. But there was another royal descendant of David coming. He would be born 600 years later, in a humble cattle shed in the town of Bethlehem, a humble baby born to poor parents, a tender twig transplanted by God into the fertile soil of a humanity desperate for salvation. This tender twig was predicted throughout the Old Testament by prophets such as Jeremiah, who, by the way, was a contemporary of Ezekiel. In Jeremiah, we read, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." Also by Isaiah, who said, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And also from Zechariah, who wrote, "Behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch." God's kingdom is tall timber, because that tender twig grew and became a majestic tree. Ezekiel said, "On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar." Obviously, the key word in that sentence is majestic. And in the Hebrew language, that's an adjective that means noble or mighty or stately. It's an apt description of the Lebanon cedar, which is a stately tree. Often its branches are as broad as the tree is tall. And its roots spread far out to cling deeply to the rocky soil of the Middle East, thereby securing a stronghold so that it can survive in that harsh environment and support its towering height. It's the perfect metaphor for the kingdom of God, for God's kingdom too is tall timber. When Jesus left the earth with his physical presence, you recall, he promised his disciples that he would send them the Holy Spirit. And in 10 short days, he kept that promise on the day of Pentecost there in Jerusalem, when the gospel was preached to all the nations gathered in that city. On Pentecost, the tender plant of God's kingdom burst forth into flower and began its vigorous growth and expansion. That growth has continued upward and outward right down to the present day. Now the kingdom of God, which started out with that tender little twig, has now extended its branches all the way around the world, to the point where believers here in Tacoma, Washington, now are part of that kingdom, even though we're all the way around the world from Jerusalem, where that tender twig was first planted. God's kingdom is tall timber, and the most comforting thing about that is the absolute security it gives to those who belong to that kingdom, for it provides a safe dwelling place for all. What's one of the first things people do when they're threatened, say, by a vicious animal? They often look around for a tree to climb, don't they? And that is a common reaction. Some whole societies, it turns out, are based on that impulse. In 1998, a couple of Dutch anthropologists discovered a long-lost tribe deep in the jungles of Papua New Guinea, a tribe called the Korowai. The Korowai were under constant threat from warlike neighbors who were always trying to kill them, so they developed an interesting defense mechanism. They lived in tree houses. Their entire village is built at the tops of lofty trees, many of them over 100 feet high. They reach the houses by ladders, and when danger threatens, they just pull up the ladder. Threat neutralized. Wouldn't that make you feel safe? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of security, that absolute knowledge that trouble could not defeat you and overcome you? You already have it. For God's kingdom is tall timber. It provides a safe dwelling place for all. Ezekiel says, "It will be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches they will dwell." Scripture makes clear again and again that God's gracious gospel invitation is for all people, people of every nationality and every ethnic background. Jesus said, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind." Ezekiel's metaphor is birds, as it happens, but the point is the same. The kingdom of God is for everyone. God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God's kingdom is tall timber. The branches of this lofty tree extend to cover everyone, everyone who will confess their sins and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what perfect security is to be found in the branches of this cedar tree. In a favorite hymn we sing, "Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather. Nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given." Again and again, Scripture underlines the fact that when you are a member of God's kingdom of grace, absolute security belongs to you. Not a trial or a heartache can occur in your life that your Heavenly Father does not know about, and from which your Heavenly Father will not deliver you in his good time and according to his gracious plan for your life. The psalmist said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. And of course, when you dwell secure among the branches of God's kingdom, there is one great enemy that you may overcome with the power of God, and that's sin. No longer must you run to and fro, fretting about your sin, wondering how you, with your record, could ever possibly be a member of the kingdom of God. Yes, your sins are great, but remember, God's kingdom is tall timber. Scripture reminds us where sin did abound, there grace did much more abound. And the universal promise that applies to you and every sinner, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Your part of the world God loved. Your sins were among those that were completely atoned for by Jesus on Calvary. Your justification and everlasting life were confirmed when Jesus rose triumphant on Easter Sunday. Where could there possibly be more joy and more security than among the branches of God's heavenly kingdom? And how blessed are we who find there our safe haven and our resting place. As we heard in our Old Testament text for this morning, and as we'll sing together once again in a few moments, beside thine altars, gracious Lord, the swallows find a nest. How happy they who dwell with thee and praise thee without rest. And happy they whose hearts are set upon the pilgrim's quest. In California's Inyo National Forest, near the top of a rocky peak, stands a very ancient tree. It was already 2,000 years old when Ezekiel lived. Named Methuselah, it's a bristlecone pine tree that biologists estimate may be the oldest living organism on Earth. Coincidentally, it too is a close relative of the Lebanon cedar. It too has natural defenses that keep it safe from pests and parasites. But its preservative properties pale in comparison to the tree before us this morning. For through faith in Christ, we belong to the kingdom of God, and God's kingdom is tall timber. It started with a tender twig. By now, it has grown to a majestic tree whose branches spread around the world and offer the gospel of forgiveness and salvation to every creature. God grant that each of us believers may find our dwelling place beneath its branches. Amen. Please rise.